You guys are actually getting a two-for-one this morning, because Carrie and I are both going to take a little... get into some of those things. There are some things, though, as we count down the minutes here, I guess, I need to tell you. Two of those things is that Carrie and I would not be here today if we did not love you and we didn't believe in what God is doing. And the other one is that we wouldn't be leaving today if we didn't love you and we didn't believe in what God is doing in life and in this church. Carrie and I hold it together pretty well in a lot of ways, but we are not okay on the inside, and we haven't been for a long time. I can't tell you the number of times that let me back up. But we hold it together for you guys, and we just keep on going because we love you. And I can't tell you the number of times that that I've had to stop and just remember your stories and think about you and think about your faces and walk around the church and look at your pictures. And I would pray to God and say, God, help me keep going for them, for them. Help me keep going for her. Help me keep going for him. I know that there are people that come in here every Sunday like they are just holding on to a lifeline. I know that there are people that carry incredible burdens. I know that there are people that really need just some bit of word of encouragement, some word from God. They need to feel loved. That people come in here every Sunday morning with some joy that needs to be shared. And we love you. We love you. We love you. And so we've prayed these prayers to God. God, please help us keep going. Help us keep going for him and for her, for them. We love you. And God has been faithful in answering those prayers. And with a few notable exceptions in my mind, we have carried the ball forward. There's been a few drops along the way. But if we stayed, we wouldn't be any good to you. And pretty soon we wouldn't be any good for anything. So for that and for a lot of reasons, we need to go. We have been here all of this time because God is faithful, because we believe in you. We believe in what God is doing. And we love you. We love you. We love you. And you remember that in the days ahead when you think, hey, Nathan and Carrie, they should be here for this. Things would be better if they were here. Or things would be different if they were here. They would be different. But it's also important that we go. And we're going because we love you and we believe in what God is doing here in this church. See, if we didn't leave, you guys wouldn't get the chance to see who it is that you really are and what God is calling you to. So long ago, this might have been the mission of Nathan and Carrie. But it isn't that anymore. It's a church. It's a group of people who are following Jesus. And that's what we've always wanted. We wanted to be a part of something like that, where people know whether they have a dollar in their pocket or they hadn't had a dollar in their pocket in a long time. People that are black and brown, beautiful shades of brown and white, and can all come together and love each other as family, regardless of their politics or all the other things that hold people apart, that drive people apart, because they hold Jesus as the center of their lives and say, that's not just enough, it's more than enough for me to see the person that is standing in front of me, to call them my brother, to call them my sister, because they are following Jesus. And they're getting up and then they're falling down. They are following Jesus. And I am a better follower of Jesus for having them in my life. I am more of who I want to be. I am more of who God is calling me to be because I get to be in a relationship with them. We've wanted that. And that is who you are. That is what Edgewood Church is. And by us leaving, you are going to get to see that more clearly than what you would if we stayed here. One of the ways that we think about our church is about God calling us to build a ship that is going to sail towards Jesus. Going to sail towards Jesus. And so, but we're building the ship we're building it and trying to sail it all at the same time while treading water and keeping our heads above water. Desperate situation. So we started off with a log, you know? And we're treading water and we're trying to shape this thing into a ship that's going to sail towards Jesus. And different people get on this log that we hope one day will be a ship. And especially early on, we had a lot of limb danglers, you know, that are just dangling their limbs in the water. We had a lot of sightseers, you know, that are just there for the ride to see what's going to happen. They're showing up for their own good time. We had people that were passionately rowing in the wrong direction. And in the midst of all of that, Carrie and I were talking about and teaching about Jesus. Let's follow Jesus. Let's follow Jesus. We were going to follow after Jesus. He is the Savior of our life, our center, the God of our life, our Lord. Everything will be okay and will be amazing if we follow after Jesus. And over time, some of those limb danglers pulled their limbs out of the water and sat up straight. Some of them even picked up an oar and began rowing. Some even in the right direction, you know. Some of the people that were passionately rowing in the wrong direction stopped. Some even began rowing in the right direction. Some people that were sightseers and just sitting on the boat enjoying the ride. Some of those people began rowing. They begin hearing the voice. They've been hearing the call. Some people didn't. Some people said, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I want. I want to be somebody that just shows up for me. I want to be a limb dangler. I want to be here for the sightseeing. I want to go in some other direction. But eventually, we had a crew of people, not just people on a boat, but we had a crew, a team of people that were rowing after Jesus, and we began to see ripples on the hull of this log that was becoming a ship because we were moving. We were moving towards Jesus. And that is who you are, and that is who Edgewood Church is. And one of the things that we are really excited about with us leaving is that when we are no longer on the ship anymore, we are no longer playing the part of the coxswain, you are still going to hear the voice calling you onward. Further ahead, stroke, stroke, a little to the left, a little to the right. Because it's not actually our voice, it's Jesus' voice. That's the one that we're following. The Apostle Paul doesn't say, follow me because I'm Lord. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's all that we've been trying in our getting up and our falling down. All that we've been trying to tell you is follow us as we follow Christ, and we're not it. We're not it. And you're going to see more clearly as we step away that you are still hearing the Master's voice calling you onward. Now, y'all are a bunch of crazies, you know? And we buffer a lot of stuff. You're a bunch of come when you want to's and can't get it together sometimes, you know? You are. And we buffer a lot of that stuff. And we're not going to be here to buffer that anymore. And so your crazies are going to rub up against somebody else's crazy, and there's not going to be anybody there to referee those things and talk you off of cliffs, you know? But that's where the real fun starts, you know? You're never going to go to a church where your crazies don't come with you, you know, because you're bringing them. And you're never going to be around other people that aren't a little crazy too and aren't some come when you want to's and can't get it togethers. But it's in those moments that we are actually challenged to be like Jesus, right? It's not when there's only smooth sailing and everybody does what you want to and is sugar sweet to you. And the world revolves around you. It's when the world is not revolving around you that we are challenged to grow. That's how our faith grows and our soul grows, and we become more and more like Jesus. If you want to find a weak, good-for-nothing Christian, you go find a Christian that hasn't been in church in a long time. They are a weak, good-for-nothing Christian because they haven't had other people rubbing up against them. And they become judgmental and haughty, and they think that they're better than other people. Well, they think they're better than other people because they haven't been around other people that drive them crazy, you know? And so they can stand at a distance and cast judgment on other people and thinking that they're not annoying, you know? Guess what? They're annoying, you know? But you guys are going to follow after Jesus, and you're going to love each other, and you're going to grow, and it's going to be good, and it's going to be beautiful. The one that you have been following all along is still with you and is never leaving you. And what we will come back to is a church that is committed to loving each other even more and to following Jesus even more and not being and understanding itself to not be the ministry of Nathan and Carrie, but to be Edgewood Church that we are a part of, followers of Jesus along with you. Going to leave you with two pieces of advice. I stole them from this guy named Paul. Remember that you're not alone. Remember that you're not alone. There are people that care about you. In this room, in this church, you are not alone. You have an amazing family of God that stretches all around the world and back in time for thousands of years. You are not alone, and you never will be. You're not alone in your problems. You're not alone in your joys. You're not alone in your sorrows. And on top of that, the God of the universe is with you. The Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of you, and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is leading you forward. You are not alone. So in light of that, get rid of everything that slows you down in your pursuit of Jesus and his good kingdom, especially the sin that won't let go. Be determined to run the race that is ahead of you and ahead of us. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who leads us and makes our faith complete. He endured the shame of being nailed to a cross, and there will be things that you need to endure as well. And he did this because he knew that later on he would be glad that he did. Now he sits at the right hand of God's throne. So keep your mind on Jesus in the good moments and the bad moments. In the mornings where you don't want to wake up and pray and have your devotions and you want to sleep more than you want God, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your mind fixed on Jesus. He put up with many insults from sinners, and then you won't get discouraged and you won't give up. And don't forget to rejoice. And rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'm going to tell you to rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, that means that I'm getting close to finished. Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned and received from me over all the years that you've been here, or days, put those into practice, and the God of peace will be with you always. You are not alone. You are not alone. God loves you. You are a part of an incredible crew. And you have a beautiful and wonderful destination.
Beautiful people. Oh my gosh. So Nathan and I have had quite a journey trying to follow God in this thing of starting a church. And some people think of church as a building, and some people see church more as a group of people. And when we got started, we had neither one of those. But God had a plan. And God knew all the beautiful possibilities that could be. In the first 2 years of us being in Edgewood, working towards starting this church, we saw 5 churches start and die, one after another. Doesn't that make you feel like you're in the right business? Most of the people will tell you that securing a building is one of the biggest parts of successfully starting a church and getting it off the ground. You have to secure a building. And there's a huge part of that that's true. Because just like a family, a homeless church needs a building before it can really start to put down roots and last and be there and be healthy and strong over the long haul. So as you can imagine, it was a huge relief when we got the phone call that ended up giving us this building. What a huge gift that is to our church. And it was clear that God was at work, and there was hope that God was doing something. And that's why, by the way, that we try to make sure that we use this church to be a gift to our community wherever we can. But being without a building is not the biggest challenge to starting a church. Some people think of church as a building. But if you have been coming to church for any length of time, you start to, at some point, figure out that church is this group of people, right? Church is a group of people. And a healthy and strong church is a group of people who love God and love each other. They love God, and they love each other. And this is harder than us humans realize. We are not as good as we would like to be at putting together this kind of a community that loves God and loves people. We can assemble a church building, right? We can acquire that. But a people who love God and love people and love each other, that's a hard thing. Like so many broken places in this world, the one thing that will absolutely make all the difference is Jesus changing people from the inside out. And that is a slow change that doesn't often explode on the scene like what we want to see. And it's unwieldy to human hands that want to control and dictate how this new change can happen, what it's going to look like. The Spirit of God eludes our efforts to force the change we want to see. But instead, it slowly transforms the very foundations of our being to learn to walk in step with our King. So for a lot of years, Nathan and I were the ones who loved people when they came to church. We were the ones who prayed with them. We were the ones who welcomed them. We were the ones who believed and really hoped to see the best in people. We were the ones who looked for ways to pass our faith on to the littlest ones among us. We were the ones whose hearts broke to see people return to the darkness because that was all they knew. We were the ones who welcomed them back with joy when they wanted to try again and again and again. She wants to make mommy feel better. It's okay. For a lot of years, we were the ones who loved people when they came to church. But somewhere along the way, the work of God's Spirit began to emerge in tangible ways. And it was slow at first. But the work of God's Spirit is powerful. And it is unshakable. And today we have a church. We have a people who love each other well. Today, when a stranger walks through the doors of our church, they will not remain a stranger long because they are going to be loved. We have watched you welcome each other in. We've watched you earnestly pray for one another. We've watched you tenaciously believe and hope to see the best in people. We've watched you encourage each other when you're down, stand beside each other so that no matter what, hope is not abandoned. You freely and joyfully pour your faith into the littlest ones here, laying a good foundation for their future. You have listened to each other's stories and treasured them because they point us all to God. Your hearts have broken right along with ours when we've watched people turn away from the light that God offers because the darkness is all they've known. And you have joined us with joy when we get to welcome somebody back. And you've walked with them as they take those shaky steps towards trying again and again and again. The testament to God's Spirit being living and active among us here in this place is your love for one another. At the Last Supper, Jesus shared a final meal with his disciples, but it was more than a meal. Jesus was instituting a new covenant. A covenant that would remake the old covenant at Mount Sinai, where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And he's held up that cup of wine, and Jesus said to his disciples gathered around him, he said, "This is my blood of the covenant. It's poured out to forgive the sins of the people." And then he said this, "With this new covenant came a new commandment." He said, "And now I am giving you a new command. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love each other." On his way to the cross, Jesus was laying before his disciples quite a challenge. Love each other the way you have seen me love you. Love each other the way you are about to see me love you. This is the marker of a community of Jesus followers. It is your love for each other that says to the world, there's something different here. There's something worth investigating further. Nathan and I can look around and see that God's Spirit is alive and active here in this place because of your love for one another. And that gives us a lot of peace in leaving for a time. Because we know that we are not leaving you alone. We are leaving you in the care of God's Spirit, living and active in and among you. So lean in to God's Spirit, to this presence. When you step into a bad moment, someone rubs you the wrong way, or you hurt somebody, trust God's Spirit that is in you is also in them. Be patient. Be kind. Not nice. I can go back to the whole other sermon we did. Be honest. Be loyal. Look for and believe the best about one another. Look after each other. And everyone will know that you are followers of Jesus. Let's pray.